T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Clint Sterner and the show on Sports Radio 610 with the 5 o'clock fire. Presented by Traeger, your full-service safety partner.
Ah, yes, congratulations. You're off work. And luckily for you, old Dirty and Show have the latest for you and the latest. Carlos, as we call him on this show, Los Correa, he stepped out and he has set a deadline for his next contract.
If the Astros want to extend me, I would like to get it done before the season starts. Because once the season starts, man, I feel so good. My body feels so great. And I feel like I'm going to have such a great season that once the season starts, I don't want to be involved and distracted with those conversations. Mm.
Show, I love it, man. I mean, you're talking about a guy that since he said this right here, since he dropped this line right here.
If you don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
He's become my favorite player in Major League Baseball. He's become my favorite. He went from me not caring if he's with the Astros and thinking the Astros should move him and get what they could for him and to being my favorite player in Major League Baseball. I mean, that minute right there, I feel like his leadership, his ability to lead, took a giant step in the right direction. And since then, he has done nothing but continue to move in the right direction and take monster steps in terms of being a leader for this organization. And look, I don't know what the hell is going to happen with this extension. I don't know if they have even the possibility of getting it done before the season starts and spring training breaks. I don't know the first about where they're at, where their negotiations are at. I don't know the first thing, but I know this is that the Astros, when the timing's right, and when they can get the negotiation down to where it needs to be, Los Correa needs to be an Astro. This is a guy that it goes above and beyond being one of the greatest shortstops in the game right now. It goes above and beyond being one of the greatest young stars in the game right now. It goes above and beyond the fact that he's already pretty damn good at the plate. He came into his own last year. I got to believe that the future is unbelievably bright for him at the plate as well as defensively in Major League Baseball. It goes so far above and beyond that because this guy's leadership ability, we've seen it. We've watched it unfold right in front of our eyes. When the most adversity was surrounding this team than probably ever has in franchise history, probably, when it comes to adversity. And I mean, I can't think of anything being bigger than getting caught cheating scandal, right?
Yeah.
That dude stood up and bowed his neck and told everybody else in the league, if you don't know the facts, shut the hell up. Game 6 of the ALCS, I believe it was. He goes to the mound and gets in Framber Valdez's ass about getting right and getting them out of that inning so that they could get their bats back at the plate and have a chance to win a ball game. It was just beautiful. He's elevating the play of everybody around him, and that goes so far above and beyond what you can do in the field or what you can do at the plate when we're talking about how valuable a guy he is. They got to find a way to get this one done.
Listen, this isn't Cincinnati. This isn't Tampa. This isn't some Oakland, some small market area. You let George Springer go to save that money to make you be able to sign this dude. You have the money. Robert Flores was on with us a couple months ago, and he said, yep, if the Astros want to go and sign Carlos Correa, they've got the money to sign Carlos Correa. but you've got the money. You are a championship organization with those aspirations, as you said, James Click, last week. This is your guy. You got the money. He has shown you he is ready to take that next step, both leadership as you're talking, and this is a young enough player who you think is probably entering his real prime years at the plate. Go sign.
Yeah. And look, Springer's gone.
Yep.
Springer was, I think, the undisputed leader of the locker room for several of his years here. You look at Altuve. I love Altuve. Great player. Going to go down as one of the best professional athletes in the city of Houston, but I don't think he's the alpha in the clubhouse. Bregman, for whatever reason, he doesn't strike me as that guy that's just the alpha in the locker room or in the clubhouse. Verlander's injured. We know he's one of the alphas, but he's injured, not going to be around as much. The entire pitching rotation, including Lance McCullers, pitching staff, I mean, they're young. There's nobody on that staff that I can think of off the top of my head that's going to be an alpha in the clubhouse. There's just without Correa, there's a major void there. And with him, I think it's a major strength. So I agree with you, Show. It's however you got to get it done. I don't know when it's going to happen. And I don't know if it can happen before the season starts. That's you got a long way to go and a short time to get there, I think. But I think before it's all said and done, you got to keep Correa in an Astros uniform.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, as we've been talking about, the other big story is Peter King coming out and hearing from at least two separate teams saying they've reached out to the Texans to give offers, but have heard nothing back, nothing, zero feedback whatsoever, no reaction at all, not even a "we'll get back to you." And it's get close here. We're probably a little over 2 months until the draft. That has to be the stopping point, right? The Texans cannot get to the draft and not made a move on Deshaun Watson, right? That has to be the point.
Well, you got to at least position yourself. Right, it's bad business to not position yourself to move either direction the night of the draft. What is it, April 29th, I think, is when the draft is? Yeah, April 29th is round one of the draft, I believe. April 29th, you need to have every stone flipped on, is Deshaun Watson a Texan? Okay, what does it look like? Is Deshaun Watson moved to Miami or New York or somewhere else, and what does that look like moving forward? You need to have covered, discussed and discussed every single option at that point in time. You got 2 months to do it. To sit here today and say that you're not even responding to teams that are calling and with offers, you're not even communicating with them, like not "we'll get back to you," no nothing, like you're categorically opposed to trading Watson as if it's in your power. To me, that's bad business, number one, and number two, the statement that makes to Deshaun Watson and his camp, I don't think will be received well.
No, and listen, I didn't agree with anything our last caller, Ross, had to say at all. And call back in, Ross. I like it, man. I love it. I didn't agree with anything what he had to say except for one thing. When he said if he were Cal McNair, he'd go to his grave with him keeping, I wouldn't be surprised if that's in their thought process as of right now.
I'm with Cal.
Yeah, that either you play here or you don't play anywhere. Like, and at least for now, I wouldn't be surprised if that isn't their game plan, because I find it very interesting, like John McClain said when he's been on with us, that the first time that we hear any word that they've talked to anybody or heard anybody's offer in any way, it'll be huge news because everybody is on this story. And the fact that we haven't heard that still makes me wonder, like, are they on this over my dead body type of thought process, which to me is not the right way to go.
I mean, whether it is or isn't, Show, the right way to go, I think it's a dangerous road to take with Deshaun Watson. I mean, again, I think Cal McNair and Jack East would be the one thing that scares them desperately. I mean, just scares the fire out of them is J.J. Watt or Deshaun Watson from inside the organization speaking about what's gone on in the last 18 months.
You think that scares them?
I do. I think that would scare them to death. And you go down that road of, we're going to play hardball and you're an employee, you're under contract, you shut up and play. I just I don't see how Deshaun Watson gets to the point he's at right now if folding up his tent April the 28th, right before the draft, is an option. Like, I don't think, and I don't think the Texans want it to get ugly.
Yeah, they certainly shouldn't, but I don't know if that scares them.
We'll see.
It should be, but I don't know if it does.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, this has been the weirdest thing happening with the Rockets and DeMarcus Cousins. Boogie Cousins, Friday, they had signed or they guaranteed his $2.3 million salary for the year. The Rockets had guaranteed it. And then, bam, out of nowhere, over the weekend, reports from The Athletic in conjunction with Stadium, the Rockets and center DeMarcus Cousins are planning to part ways in the coming days. Houston wants to go smaller, younger in the front court when Christian Wood returns, and this allows Cousins to find opportunity elsewhere. That was over the weekend. And then Stephen Silas came out and said, nope, DeMarcus Cousins was at practice today and will play in their next game. It's just the damnedest thing. Now he's been ruled out with the heel injury tonight, but it was like, all right, they gave him his money. Then they said, then there's reports that they're going to part ways, and now Stephen Silas is like, no, he's here. Like, this is the weirdest thing that happened over the weekend with DeMarcus Cousins.
Wonder if all of a sudden they got wind that somebody might want him and there might be a little value there.
Maybe. Like, to me, I was like, something happened. Like, something happened in a practice. That's what I was thinking. You don't go from, all right, man, we're going to go ahead and guarantee this $2.3 million contract.
Yeah, well, that's an old good faith gesture.
Yeah, and then, bam, we're parting ways the next day. It's like 26 hours.
Does he end up out in L.A.?
With
Big Boy having an Achilles issue?
I don't think so, man. That's he's just slow. I mean,
they just need a body, right?
I've heard that thrown around that Cousins could go back there, but hell, Stephen Silas said he was practicing.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be in a Rockets uniform.
It's just,
it'll be
it's
all right.
The damnedest thing to keep an eye on. Like, to me, when I first heard it and saw the reasoning, them saying that Houston wants to go smaller with Christian Wood, I get that. Maybe they've got some. They want to go smaller and see what kind of team they can go when Wood gets back. Because, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is not. I mean, he's a 1-year deal. It's just been this year. He's not ready to help you win big time games right now. He's just limited right now. So I understood the thoughts of moving on from him. But everything else, he's staying. No, he's going. That's a weird thing to keep an eye on. That we'll have to keep an eye on. All right, Clint Sterner and the show here with you. Here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610, there are potential trade possibilities. Two of them for Deshaun make sense. The other two, those are the ones we're really going to have to look at. We'll discuss that.
Deshaun Watson is so freaking awesome.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, Houston, let's sit in and really hone in on this, all right? And maybe it won't happen or maybe it not. It will, rather, because it sounds like they're not taking any calls at the moment, but we think they better. Peter King had some real interesting trade scenarios, and two of them make sense, right? Two of them. You've been on this. We've been on this. The best deal, the combination of picks, high draft picks, potential throw-in quarterbacks, and cheap players because of the picks would be the Jets and the Dolphins because they have the best you can offer. And the two of those really were intriguing, and the packages that Peter King thought through were interesting. And these women, I just want to know, are these ones where at least you are taking – you are going to be on the phone, taking the phone to talk to somebody, and you could start negotiations, right? I know you done bought and sold houses where somebody offered you something, and I don't even want to talk to you. You're not even in the spot, right?
Yeah.
You're not even
going
to talk. Here, is this a talk to you one from Miami? This is one Peter King offers up as a proposal. Defensive end Christian Wilkins. He was a top 12 pick, I believe, coming out of Clemson. Quarterback Tua. First-round picks in 2021, that's the third overall, and a first-round pick in 2023, which you would think would probably be a late one if Deshaun's there, and second round picks in both 2021 and 2022. All right, Wilkins was a 13th overall pick in 2019. Is that one where you hang on the phone? Is that one where you give him a chance to talk? Okay, we had a good start.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there ain't no doubt. If it's the Dolphins, knowing what they have in the draft this year, if they call, I'm picking that joker up. I ain't no doubt about it. I mean, they've got the sweetest package, the potential of the sweetest package that, quite frankly, the Texans may ever be able to see for Deshaun Watson.
Nut package.
Yes, Romeo Crennel. You cannot stay in Houston, but yes, I agree. I do agree with your deluxe nuts. Miami's got the ability to put a package together for the Texans that I'm not real sure that we're going to see again next year. Like next year, are we sure that we're going to see a team that's got two first and two seconds, a need at the quarterback position, and they're primed and ready to make a run at a Super Bowl?
As high as their picks are.
Yeah. I mean, mention that. I mean, what are the odds of a team that's got 10 wins from last year that's primed and ready to go win a championship, doesn't have a quarterback, and has the number 3 overall pick and the number 18 pick in the draft? So I just think there's an opportunity for the Texans, if Deshaun forces them into a position, again, which I think he has, to trade him. If Miami calls, I'm picking up the phone simply knowing what they potentially could be offering you at this point in time.
Is that package one you would take?
Man, I don't.
And once again, that package Christian Wilkins, Tua, and then two first-round picks, including the third overall, and then another one in 2023. Yeah, and then the second round picks in 2021 and 22.
I wouldn't, because I like Christian Wilkins. I hadn't studied his play or anything, but a big part of what Jacksonville, Miami, and the New York Jets, a big part of what they can offer this year that I think makes them, makes them the three, obviously the three teams that can put a similar package together, is they've got for sure. Right, they can look at you and say, you get the number 3, you get the number 18, you get the number 32, and you get the number 50, I believe, something like that with the Dolphins. Like you can literally know precisely what the value is on those particular picks, and then add the other pieces to it, like Tua or Christian Wilkins, if that's what you so choose. But you've got to take advantage of the for sure. Like if the Houston, to me, the Houston Texans, best case scenario, they get as much draft capital in 2021 as they can. Like I don't want to hear about a first rounder in 2023. Like that would be great if it were somebody that didn't have the potential to give me 2 this year. Right. And help me rebuild this year.
I know
year
what you got,
but I know exactly what I'm getting.
That was the Dolphins. I know what you got.
With the Dolphins, you got 3 and 18. I mean, that first round pick in 2023 with the Dolphins, it could be 31, right? I mean, it could be 28. I mean, it could be lower than the second pick that you could get from them this year. Yeah, I'm picking the phone up if it's Miami, but I'm picking it up with the intentions of getting both first and both seconds this year.
But at least that is something we can start to have a conversation.
You betcha.
Not disrespectful. The Jets, they had a similar deal, similar proposal that Peter King brought up with Sam Darnold and Quinnen Williams, and then those picks. But I think the other two that he brought up, the Niners and the Panthers, they're the ones that I want to get your thoughts on this potential package, because this is probably the best that they can do, because they're limited compared to how high and how many first-round picks that they can give the way the Jets and the Dolphins are. But to me, these two teams are crucial, because if those are workable, that means a lot of other teams would jump in.
Yeah.
This is what Peter King has as a proposal for the San Francisco 49ers. Before you throw up, Garoppolo's included, so I just want to prepare you for that. All right, it's a 7-for-1 deal. Garoppolo in this deal comes to Houston. Linebacker Fred Warner, their tackle Mike McGlinchey, yeah, that sounds good, First round picks in 2021, 12th overall, and in 2022, plus the second round pick in 2021 and third round picks in 2022 for Watson. The tackle thing is weird because that's the position you don't need if you're the Texans.
Well, the interesting thing about the tackle being – I hate that deal, by the way. I just don't.
That's one you wouldn't even talk.
There's just no future in Garoppolo. I mean, the quarterback that you get
– I know it's hard for you to get.
It's painful. The quarterback that you get –
Fred Warner's a beast, though.
Yeah, it's a monster. But you've got a $14 million a year linebacker here already. You're going to have 28 wrapped up in your two linebackers? With a front that can't keep it, the offensive lineman off of those $28 million worth of linebackers? Nah, I'm good. But there's – I'm not in any way, shape, or form a Garoppolo guy. And look, regardless of what my opinion of him is, I don't think he has a future in this league as a starting quarterback, as a consistent playoff contending starting quarterback. Like he doesn't get me excited about my organization if he's the quarterback at all. And I think you're living in a day and age where you better be at least something that moves the needle at quarterback if you're going to be in the playoffs every year. The problem with him to me is that we've seen enough, right? You've seen enough now. All the hype when he was drafted in the second round, which I think was a poor decision. Then all of a sudden, because he was Tom Brady's backup, I think he played well a couple of times that he came in. Hell, who didn't play well when they came in for Tom Brady though during those runs? But he played well enough. All of a sudden, his stock rises because he's been in that New England system. And then he leaves, and he's just underwhelming, leaves so much on the table. I never bought into his shtick and his just – I didn't get a good vibe from him in listening to him. And I just don't want that. Right? I want a quarterback to come in here that I feel like there's some untapped talent there, right? There's with Tua and Sam Darnold, those are two guys that – they may be ruined. They may not ever amount to anything that we thought they would, but boy, the potential is through the roof. And if I could punch the right buttons, man, and get them one of them two cats playing at a high level, all of a sudden you got a playoff contention type of quarterback.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was curious. So you're out on that one.
I'm out on San Francisco, and it has you lost me at Garoppolo.
And then, well, if that is the case, that is interesting. If the Texans begin answering phone calls because. If those are deals that give people a chance to be in the running, that brings a lot of people. Because if I'm the Raiders and that is a type of deal that works, well, hell, I'll give you Derek Carr and I'll give you Max Crosby or Colin, is it Farrell? Farrell kid or Josh. I'll give you two players, a player, my quarterback and one of our young players, and I'll give you these draft picks. I'll give you multiple first and multiple twos to do that. That brings a lot of teams into the fold if similar deals like the Panthers or deals like what they just gave up, we just talked about here with San Francisco works. That means a lot of teams have a chance. Denver is in the fold.
Gets everybody involved. Yeah, I mean, you get a third team involved because that's what the San Francisco proposal here is also one with Minnesota Vikings involved.
Yeah.
And that's – I mean, you get three teams involved. Boy, teams can accumulate draft picks pretty quickly and get in the game real quick if it takes two first-round picks this year. You know, the one thing I was going to say earlier, that there's a couple of these different scenarios that Peter King throws out there that involve tackles, right? Which if you don't know anything, then you're just looking at the Texans from the outside and they're not answering phone calls. You look at them and you go, man, they got a first-round tackle on the right. They got a $22 million tackle at left tackle. Why would the proposals consist
include
of the tackle?
Tackles.
Yeah. That tells you somebody knows something. That tells you somebody knows something that Titus Howard maybe be better off inside a guard. Mm. That may be their answer, right? Now, I don't know if they're just if Peter King's shooting in the dark, but I know there's two or three of these proposals here have a tackle involved.
I know with the tackle with San Francisco, you'd have to pay him pretty quick. He's about off his rookie contract.
Okay.
So then you got him and that's a big.
Well, I'm just saying of a tackle being involved makes me go, wait a minute, you got two tackles. Why would you want to do that? Well, somebody must have some inside information that either they're going to try to move Tunsil or that Titus Howard can play inside.
Should the Texans rely on their final Hail Mary to stop them from even fielding calls from people? Should they rely on their final Hail Mary, which is Nick Caserio and David Culley talking to Deshaun? We'll discuss it next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
All right, so if the Texans, we get this straight from Peter King, as he's reporting that at least two teams have reached out to the Texans and they have been hit with a, no, sir, we good. Not even, no, you know what, not even a we good, just a non-response. Their final.
Nothing.
Nothing. Their final Hail Mary would be to say, all right, this is what we're going to do to be able to try to hold on to Deshaun, and this is why we're not fielding any offers at all yet or even hearing them. Their last-ditch effort has to be what John McClain, who comes on this show each and every Friday in the 4 o'clock hour, it has to be what he has said. If he just, Deshaun and his representation, sits down and has a conversation with Nick Caserio and David Culley, the head coach and the general manager here, who were not here prior to the last time that Deshaun was on speaking terms with the Texans. If they can have a conversation with him, that is the last bullet they have. That is the Hail Mary. Should that be enough, Clint, for them to say to themselves, nope, we're going to not listen to anything right now until we get that Hail Mary?
Yeah, no, from who?
Like to try to achieve, like in their mind thinking that, like, we're not gonna take any calls or anything because we got that one last thing
left in the chamber.
Because that has to be the reason why they wouldn't even.
Hell no. Y'all done up done it. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do. Roots, solid. Yeah. Very underrated.
Yeah, no. So, look, I mean, you got to be kidding me. I mean, this is one of those where I think Deshaun Watson and his camp are sitting there laughing.
Well, because I can't think of any other reason why they would not be listening to anybody. Is, all right, we got this one last chance. Right?
Yeah, I think they are, I think they are listening to people. And they are talking to people. I don't think that they're sticking to their guns and Deshaun is their guy. I think they would like for that to be the case.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is that it's blatantly obvious that the problems with Deshaun Watson, that Deshaun Watson has with the Texans, are Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. And Jack Easterby's done nothing but strengthen his position in the organization since Deshaun threatened to force his way out of Houston. I mean, and as long as that's going to be there, I don't think there's anything that Nick Caserio and David Culley can say to talk Deshaun Watson off the ledge.
I wouldn't think so.
I think it would be a stretch. It'd be a stretch if Eric Bieniemy was the Texans head coach.
Totally agree.
And Eric Bieniemy was in the room with Nick Caserio, and they were trying to talk him off the ledge.
That would make more sense to this feel of a Hail Mary, like that you think you could have a shot at.
Yeah, then I could understand, okay, Robert Saleh or, hell, even Matt Eberflus or Eric Bieniemy. Hell, even Jim Caldwell, like even one of the older coaches that were on the list that have been a head coach. I mean, you know, that would be.
God, the way you just said that, if they just traveling down the list, hell, if
think about what, and not that it matters what Dan Orlovsky thinks or what Booger McFarland or Marcus Spears or, you know, all these former players that are big names in the TV business right now, not that it matters what they think, but. Just imagine what the messaging would be from Dan Orlovsky if it was Jim Caldwell. And I'm not saying it should be Jim Caldwell. I'm just saying, what if it were? It would be tenfold better on a national scale and a local scale and inside the meeting room with Deshaun Watson, to where you at least have a puncher's chance. Like right now, you don't have – you got David Culley and the guy that hired David Culley. And they're supposed to talk Deshaun Watson off the ledge. It's laughable to think that Deshaun Watson and his camp would even consider that, and it's very easy to understand why he's not.
But the part that's laughable is we're talking about the Texans aren't taking calls, and the part that's laughable about it is that cannot, from a business standpoint, like we sit down, we take all the data and understand what's happening. Obviously, they've been in contact with David Mulligetta. They know a little bit more than what we, a lot more than what we know in the stance. We can't all together, Cal, Jack, Nick, David Culley, whoever else is involved in this, we can't all come together and sit down and say, all right, we've got all the intel of everything where we stand right now with Deshaun and his camp. And our thought's going to be, all right, we're just not going to take any information of what may have to be if we can't bring him in, because we want to bank on this. We want to bank on him sitting down and talking to Nick Caserio and David Culley. That is even laughable to think that you wouldn't get ducks in a row to see, all right, well, what's the offer going to be? What potentially would the Jets give? What potentially would the Dolphins give? What potentially would the Panthers give? To think that you wouldn't even get that, listen to that, or hear where, and get yourself prepared for that. That's silly business. That is silly, silly business to be hanging on to that. And not even if you felt like you had a good chance, Clint, at it working, if he talked to Caserio and him, you still should be getting yourself together to know what the other option is.
I agree wholeheartedly. And the thing is it's not even – it's no secret, man. Deshaun Watson's problem with this organization is Cal McNair and Jack Easterby. And so we can talk about David Culley and Nick Caserio, but they have zero chance because Deshaun is not even going to entertain sitting down with those guys because the problem, it's still there and it's at the top. So until you focus on solving the problem, the major issue that Deshaun Watson has with this organization, and I don't think you can solve it, truth be told, at this point, because I think it's as much on Cal McNair as it is Jack Easterby. But until you at least acknowledge that that's the problem and that that's what needs to be fixed to entertain Deshaun Watson being a Texan this year, then if you're Deshaun Watson's camp, until that is acknowledged, then it's just smoke, right? I mean, if the whole time you've had the problem with Cal McNair and Jack Easterby and they keep wanting you to sit down with Nick Caserio and David Culley, it's pointless. Because there's nothing David Culley and Nick Caserio can do to fix the problem above their head for Deshaun Watson.
No.
And so, yeah, the whole thing is interesting to me from a standpoint of the Texans not fielding calls. To me, the Texans not being proactive and actually calling teams and figuring out what's out there, to me, that's nuts. Like, if your only thought is, well, it would get leaked and Deshaun might find out. So? I mean, Deshaun ain't got no problem wanting out. Why would it bother him if you were calling teams and being proactive about opportunities that may be out there? Like, that's bad on Deshaun's part if that's the case. The Texans should be, at the very least, fielding every single call that comes in the building, gathering as much data from each organization, as much intel from each organization as they can on Deshaun Watson and everything else under the sun.
Yeah, don't be in denial of where you are.
Right, no question.
you have to understand that. Clint Sterner in the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. We'll hear from you a little bit. Landon, I'll let you jump in here on this. What's your thoughts on the Texans not fielding calls about Deshaun?
They not fielding calls because nobody making serious offers. What it is, Deshaun Watson is a generational talent, and we need more than what they offer. And Peter King must think Bill O'Brien's still in the building or something like that. Because for a guy like Sean Watson, we need 4-1s, either 3-2s and 3-3s or something of that nature. But Clint, man, you worried about the wrong thing, worried about how it's going to rub the Sean Watson representation. Man, we don't care about how it rub his representation. If it makes him uncomfortable, that's good, because he's making us real uncomfortable right now. And that's all I got to say about that, man.
Appreciate the call, Landon.
Yeah, look, I think that's a very valid point. If you were talking about 99.9% of the NFL, and it wasn't 2021, I mean, in 2021, that stuff matters. Rub Deshaun Watson's representation wrong. In fact, it's what they've done. I mean, they've rubbed Deshaun, that's why they're here. I mean, they rubbed J.J. Watt wrong, and that's why J.J. Watt's not here. Now, I think Nick Caserio would have ultimately gotten rid of him anyway, being the way that he does business. But These are all Jamie Roots. Like rub Jamie Roots the wrong way, and he's out of here. I mean, yeah, those are
team president for this.
And look, I know the big chest, you know, way of doing things is good. Get the hell out of here. We don't need you then. No, man. There's a common theme here. Really good employees, whether they're players or front office execs, are running for the doorways. I mean, that is a major problem. And so, you know, back in 99 when I was playing, like, it didn't matter what my agent thought. It didn't matter what Troy Aikman's agent thought. It didn't matter what – nobody gave a rip. That may have all been true, you know, back in the day. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, that may have been the case where nobody gave a rip about the agents. We're in 2021. Deshaun Watson is one of very few players in the NFL that has NBA types of power. And – he's not afraid to use it at this point. Now, we'll see how it all unfolds because we've never seen the likes of this type of situation, I think, in the NFL. I think Jalen Ramsey forced his way out of Jacksonville, but that was done a little bit differently, right? I think there's, you know, Carson Wentz, I mean, he was the team was dysfunctional, and he was at the center of the dysfunction, and he wasn't playing well, so that's different. Matthew Stafford had given all he could to Detroit, new coaching staff. It was a smooth transition. That's different. So I don't think we've ever seen anything like what we're watching with Deshaun Watson. And it may backfire. Everybody out there may be right. It may backfire in a major way. And somebody in 2 months from now, we may be sitting here talking about, boy, the NBA power, the power that the NBA players have will never happen in the NFL. I may be wrong. Jalen Ramsey may have been the extent of it. I don't think so. My opinion is that Deshaun Watson is one of a handful of players that has more power than Jalen Ramsey, that has more power than a quarterback that's failed miserably the last year in Carson Wentz, that has more power than a quarterback that's been with an organization for several years. And I don't think, has Detroit ever won a playoff game with Matthew Stafford? Has he ever won a playoff game?
No. They haven't won a playoff game since 1991.
There you go. Why you know that's odd, but there's
it's so bad.
But that's my point. Like this is different, and those guys were able to force their way out. The I may end up being dead ass wrong, but my opinion is Deshaun is one of about five guys. Mahomes is one of them. Russell Wilson's one of them. Josh Allen may be flirting with the ability with having played well and been such a high draft pick. I mean, you've got a handful of players that I believe are on the verge of having NBA power, and we're fixing to find out about Deshaun Watson, whether he has it or he doesn't. I mean, people can sit there and act like it's not a big deal, and rubbing the agent the wrong way is not a problem, or rubbing the player the wrong way is not a problem, and approaching things with this, my quarterback no matter what the hell you think.
It's been a problem.
Yeah.
That's why you're in this problem.
Right.
Because I'm gonna do whatever I want to do.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. Nick, you're hired. I can say whatever I want to say to Deshaun, lie to him or tell him the truth or not. I can do whatever I want to do. And some fans out there fall for it. Yeah, he's an employee.
Yeah.
And just shut do whatever they want to do. Yeah. Okay. Let's see how that works. Okay. You're right. What it makes sense on paper. Oh, yeah. The Texans have all the leverage because they've signed him to a contract.
Yeah.
Does that play in the CBA works? Okay.
In theory, it all works,
it does.
Right? In theory, getting the coaches together and the GM together and they sit down and talk to Deshaun. In theory, man, that sounds great. But you got to put some reality in it and say, well, it's David Culley and Nick Caserio, the guy that hired David Culley. There's no trust at the top, and those guys are still making all the calls. And Deshaun Watson is still looking at a 2-3, maybe even longer year rebuild. I mean, it's in theory, a lot of things work.
But look where these guys go. Carson Wentz, what leverage did he have? When you look at it on paper, he didn't go to the Bengals or the Lions. He didn't go to the laughing stock. He went to the Colts. He went exactly where he wanted to go.
Yeah.
Where did Jalen Ramsey go? He go to the Bengals? No. He went to L.A. to a Super Bowl contender.
Yep.
Like, what do we, like, these guys go, these guys are disgruntled and all of it. And they go exactly where they want to go.
And Deshaun's more powerful than any of them.
Use the evidence that you've seen with these players. Like, in the last couple of years, as Clint said, last 5 years that may have worked, 10 years, 20 years ago when Clint played that may have worked. But now, like, that's not the deal anymore, man. You could try this business if you want to. Just say, I would do whatever the hell we want to do.
Well, you can show you can run the NFL. I mean, like, that opinion is accurate if you're talking about 99.9% of the players in the NFL. But guess what? If Aaron Donald gets sideways with this new defensive coordinator in the Rams, and he's got 2-3 years left on his contract at max dollars, and he wants to get up out of L.A. because they ain't doing – he's probably going to get up out of L.A. I mean, there's a handful of position players that can do it on the defensive side of the football, and there are quarterbacks that can do it.
Yeah.
And that we're going to see, man. I mean,
I will say this. If there's any team that's crazy enough to really test this, it is the Texans.
Yeah.
If there's any team that's crazy enough to really test this,
right,
the Texans would be it. But even in that point, I feel like there'll be some conversations had about a 25-year-old quarterback who people think is the face, could be one of the faces of the league, just not playing.
But Sho, do you think this is like I have a hard time of getting past this. Do you think? It's a question, not to the listeners, to you. Do you think that Deshaun Watson and his reps have got to this level where we're at today? And I know it's all just a leak, and it's just, you know, threatened to trade, you know, threatened to force his way out, and all that. We get the whole situation. Do you think Deshaun Watson wakes up one day and goes, "I'm gonna get back to playing ball, man. I got to get back to Texas. I got to get back in the groove." And then, and all of this is for nothing.
Yeah, like even like when I've heard John McClain say that he would sit out until week 10 when he'd have to come back. I don't think he'd come back. Like, I don't think he has fear for this.
Like, yeah, that's my point. Like, there's no. I just don't see Deshaun digging in his heels this deep and then going, "Well, season's here. I got to play. I go join my guys." Like, there's to me, for whatever reason, from the beginning, and you know this from the very first time this was brought up, that Deshaun could potentially take this stand, I told you guys in that prep room, this is bigger than just the head coach hire. Like, this is bigger than that. And it's done nothing but continue to grow since then. And so I just think the magnitude of why Deshaun's doing what he's doing, it's so much bigger than one individual. It's so much bigger than a head coach. If I believe that, I can't believe that he's just going to wake up one day and decide to just screw the cause, screw it. I'm good. I'm back. I'm back, boys. Let's go win some ball games.
Let's do it.
Especially with a team.
We're together.
Especially with a team that's rebuilding.
I'm willing to come under this new guided plan of Cal and Jack.
Yep. Forget all the reasons why I did what I did, but I'm gonna ease back in the building and just get back.
And that's the other part. Like, oh, they've done so many things to help make Deshaun feel better. All the moves and all the things they've done over time to help Deshaun feel better about the situation. Where Deshaun's like, "Yep, I'm checking back." I want to go to Derek real quick. Derek, I'm gonna let you jump in here. Derek, you got about a minute. Go ahead, Derek.
Basically, I'm kind of tired of this whole saga. Deshaun need to make – I mean, he's not coming back. Trade him to Miami, trade him to San Francisco, and let's go. It's over with it, you know. Ain't nothing Cully can say, nothing nobody can say, Casario can say. He's done. And if he come back, he's not going to play. He's going to play half-ass and end up getting himself hurt. So it's time for him to go. Let's get him out of here. Go. I say trade him to Miami. We need that cornerback. We need a D lineman. We need two. We need three firsts. Then we need a second or two. And let's go. And it's over.
I hear you, and I think Deshaun agrees with you. He's tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm sure, Clint's tired of it. I'm sure, Tyler's not. But I think that's where he would agree with that too. Like, I'm out, man. Let's just move on. But if you want to sit in and just say nope, we're going to hang right here.
Oh, man. It's going to be fun to watch this thing unfold. But look here. My heels are dug in. Everybody out there that don't like me talking about Deshaun Watson on a daily basis, Deshaun Watson is out of Houston. Hey, man, get over it. That's where I believe. That's my opinion of this situation. That's where I believe Deshaun Watson and his camp sit right now. And I believe it's a mistake for the Houston Texans not to be proactive in moving Deshaun Watson. Because the alternative is you play the season without Deshaun Watson. You possibly pay him anyway. And then you're in this same boat next year and you've wallowed in dysfunction for a year. If you want to sit there in that pipe dream that Deshaun's coming back, hey, that's on you.
Texans All Access coming up next. Nice job, Sleazy, Clint as well. I'm Ron, the show, Hughlin. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
And another thing I'm going to get on Cliff by. The man say, John McClain.
His name's Clint, Ross.
Clint, whatever his name.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.